Take your Bibles, and Saturday night also we have a time of prayer here at the church, if you're available, and pray over the services for Sunday. And turn to Matthew 21, and as you're turning there, if you could stand, if you're able to stand, in the honor of reading God's Word. Authority indeed. You know, people like authority, but they don't like the accountability or the responsibility that comes along with it. We're going to start reading verse 23. We'll read down to 32. And when he was come into the temple, the Lord Jesus Christ, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching, and said, By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? And Jesus answered and said unto him, I also will ask you one thing, which, if ye tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, Why did ye not then believe him? But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, We cannot tell. And he said unto them, Neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. But what think ye? So the Lord goes on and says, But what think ye? A certain man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise, and he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of the Father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. Let's pray. Father, we ask now again that you would take the words of this book, the words of the Bible, the words of Scripture, and bless them to our hearts tonight. Father, we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Excuse me. Well, the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes, they see Christ back from a spectacular day before when he entered Jerusalem. And this morning we saw where they came to him and by what authority. Well, it was the authority of John the Baptist. And because he was the voice crying in the wilderness, making the way for the Lord to come, the Messiah. And you know what's crazy is, we like to think it's crazy, these men knew who Jesus Christ is. They did nothing without not knowing what they were doing. And how is it that people who are to say that they serve God in this way and do something so heinous as rejecting that voice in the wilderness and even the scripture that is before them, even as Jesus Christ entered Jerusalem the way he did to make sure that the prophecy was completed as written? And they knew exactly what they were doing, but they don't want their authority to be cramped or crimped. And that is a sad state. And but, you know, these people are coming, I mean, as far as the Jews go, they're coming very close to crowning the Lord Jesus Christ. But these folks, they see Jesus Christ as him poaching in their area. And, well, at least it seemed to them. And, again, it's a very sad situation when you see things like this. And yet, even today, some years ago, I was preparing a message, and it was for, the resurrection service. And I got online, and I went to this, this website of a rabbi. And he was talking about the Passover. And this guy is going on and on and on about the lamb. And you sit there and you go like, how can they not see what they're saying? They're talking Jesus Christ. And I guess I was astounded as he went on and on and on about the lamb that was to be slain as for the Passover. And it's remarkable. And yet, as blind as they can be, I mean, I don't think these men were as blind as we would like to give them credit. And so he challenges them with authority. You say, okay, what authority do I have? Let me ask you a question, and I'll tell you. John the Baptist, who was he? You believe him or not? Huh? I'll tell you if you tell me. Well, they knew, boy, if we say he came from God, then they'll say, then why didn't you believe him? But if they come from it, we fear the people. I mean, these guys get themselves in a mess when they just don't preach the truth, when they bend the truth, or they don't tell you the whole truth. And they get themselves in a terrible situation. And so the Lord Jesus Christ deals with them in such a wise way. And it was brilliant how he does things so simply. And yet they didn't want their power base to erode because they did fear the people. And that gets to be pretty sad when people do start fearing people. So this was done in front. What's amazing, all this stuff was being done in front of the people. I don't think they took them off to the side. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say they did it alone in a room off to where nobody was watching this, because people are witnessing this thing. Otherwise, they could have said anything they wanted to, and because they feared the people, they say, well, we don't know. We can't tell, you know. No, you don't want to tell, because if you did, you would convict yourself. There was a, you know, I was reading and kind of looking into these people, and there was a portion, I would imagine it was the Sadducees who did this, but they got to the point in the temple that they were starting to give sacrifice to Caesar every day just to appease the Romans. And I thought to myself, you know, that doesn't really surprise me. I don't think it was in the temple itself where they did all that. They probably did it off to the side. But the Jewish people had a lot of problems with this because they knew it was going on, even though it wasn't done in the open. It wasn't something that they advertised. But if they had discontinued this, this would have been an act of war to the Romans. And it's going to be 40 years anyway when the Romans come in and they tear everything down. They destroy the temple, they take all their records, and they're burned and thrown to the winds. They were very big on lineage. And this is why you see in Scripture itself that you can follow Jesus Christ all the way back to Adam. And it's really an amazing study when you start looking. I mean, I know lineage would probably, it bores you to tears sometimes, but when you start looking into these things and you start looking all the way back, well, the lineage is still here. We still have the history of the lineage. And But of course, then again, they won't, the Jewish people or the rabbis today, they will not accept the New Testament, and which is a sad thing, but they will. They will. It'll come to a point. And so I want you to look at repenting to authority. Repenting to authority. Look at verse 28. Jesus Christ asks them a question. But what think ye? He wants these guys to start thinking. A certain man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." You know, again, the Lord is so merciful and long-suffering to us. And so he's starting to deal with these two sons, and it represents two classes of people. It represents the self-righteous, and it also represents the publicans and the sinners. The self-righteous and the sinners. Self-righteousness is a terrible thing, and we all get a little bit of self-righteous, even when we're driving. You know, when we tell other people, you know, who gave you your license? Are you crazy? Or, you know, whatever. And then later on, you do the very same thing and say, "But I had a reason for it. He didn't." You know, pretty self-righteous. But, or the sinners. And so the Lord, He cuts to the quick when He gets right down to it with these very simple parables. Now, parables are, there are a number of things. You can use them. He used them to teach the, His disciples. It is an earthly story with a heavenly message, but the parable is also told to lost people because they don't know anything different when it comes to Scripture. So they have to use parables because lost people don't get it. When it comes to Scripture, we can explain a lot of things, but if without the Holy Spirit, none of us will get anything because it is a spiritual book. And so the Lord goes to these parables and is dealing with them and talks about going into the vineyard. Now, what is the vineyard? Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 80. In Psalm 80, look in verse 8. Psalm 80 and verse 8. It says, "Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Thou preparedst room before it and didst cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars. She sent out her boughs unto the sea and her branches unto the river. Why hast thou then broken down her hedges, so that all they which pass by the way do pluck her? The boar out of the wood doth waste it, and the wild beast of the field doth devour it. Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and behold, and visit this vine, and the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself. It is burned with fire, it is cut down, they perish at the rebuke of thy countenance. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man whom thou madest strong for thyself. So will not we go back from thee, quicken us, and we will call upon thy name." What is the vineyard? The vineyard is the ministry, that are the people of Israel. Okay? Our God's people is the vineyard. And this is why when the Lord Jesus Christ is dealing with these men, they understand what he's talking about, the vineyard. It is a picture of it's a picture of Israel, of coming out of Egypt and how it was planted, and they went out, and he kind of gave a whole picture of what's going on with Israel. And so it is God's people, and he says, "Go into the vineyard," and this young man says, "I will not. I will not." let me say this, that if the Lord has ever spoken to you about something, and the Lord has talked to you about doing something in His vineyard, don't ever say, I will not, especially if He told you to, and you know it. When my wife and I, when we were called into the ministry, we were obviously still in the military, and we had a missionary, and we were getting ready for missions conference, and the Lord spoke to us, and we had our eyes closed and our heads bowed. We weren't doing any holy peeking or anything, and He says, if God is dealing with your heart, just let me pray for you. Raise your hand. So I raised my hand. That afternoon at lunch, and I says, honey, I got to talk to you. And she says, well, I got to talk to you too. And I says, you first. Well, she told me that she raised her hand. Well, that's not a coincidence. You know, when the Lord calls one, He calls both. And so I says, well, we can make this public. And so we did that night. Now, where we were going to go, we had an idea, but the Lord knows. And even though we were called, it was years before that we went because we weren't ready at that time. And but we weren't going to say no. We could have said, you know, I'm close to retirement. Well, we understood that. That went without even arguing about it. And I says, when it's time, it's time. If we're going to know that we're going to be called, we're going to know when it's time to go. You know, sometimes it takes years to prepare people to go, even though they've been called. And but to say, I will not, that is just kind of flying in the face of God's will. And I know people who have said, even if God calls me, I am not going to go. And I say, don't do that. Don't put yourself in that position. And he says, why? What's he going to do? He's not going to do anything. And that's the problem. He's not going to do anything. And I have seen it time and time again that things don't work out, especially with the rest of their life, the way they think it's going to go. And I've seen lives, I've seen families fall apart because of obstinacy, because of pride, because maybe even their own self-righteousness. And I know with my wife, every time that we saw, you know, a missionary come and giving those slides, you know, I said, we can go there, we can go there, we can go even there. And but we went where the Lord sent us. We can't be flippant about what God deals with our heart, because we're dealing with eternal matters. We're dealing with things of life and death. We're dealing with things of just living, having a life that is worth living. People say, well, you don't live that long. And well, maybe you don't, but what about the quality of life that you can have, instead of saying, I know what kind of quality of life that I want, and it isn't that, and you're going to have a quality of life that is terrible. Instead of going with the Lord, and say, but there's a joy in it, and there's things that you put yourself in that situation that, yeah, there can be some heartbreak, and there can be some huge frustrations. But you know where you're at is where God wants you to be. And He's going to take you and make you what He wants you to be. So don't ever say, I will not. Say if somebody says, the Lord says to you, you need to get deeper into Scripture. Oh, where's this taking me? Deeper into Scripture. Whatever it is. but think about Abram. When Abram was told that he's going to have a child, and he and Sarah are going to have a child, it was 13 years before he ever heard from God again. He didn't hear from God for 13 years. Now, I said, what are you saying? You're saying that God didn't talk to him? I'm saying God didn't talk to him. He didn't tell him anything. And have you ever come to the point in your life that you come to a point that it seems like God is not talking to you? I mean, you read your Bible, you study, you pray, and it just seems like there's a dryness. Just a complete spiritual dryness. And you think, Lord, what have I... And you sit there and you kind of look at your life and you say, what have I done wrong? And at the end of it, you go like, I can't see anything. I'm not being convicted of anything. It just means that it's a period of dryness. This is where our faith comes in. But when we start thinking that we're going to help God along with some prophecy that you're going to have a child, this is where we get ourselves in trouble when we try to help God. You know, and we are still suffering from the situation with Abraham because the Lord didn't talk to him for 13 years. It doesn't mean that he abandoned him, not at all. God richly blessed him. God blessed Abraham. And he was a wealthy man. He did a couple boneheaded things. He really did. But you know, God forgives him for that. And then he tells him, he says, well, how am I going to have a child in my old age? You know, that's not, don't worry about it. And he got older and older and older. If we're going to make this thing work, let's make it work. And his wife comes up with this idea. And listen, just because he's not talking to you does not mean that you're out of his will. It just comes a time that he is helping us along in our faith. He is preparing us for when he does talk to us and bless us. And it gets to be hard. It gets to be tough in a period of dryness. So before you make some trying to help God along in this issue, talk to somebody first. Talk to him. And they say, well, what if I don't hear from him? Then come and talk to me. And I'll say, you're right where God wants you to be. Okay? You say, what if there's sin? You're going to know it. You're going to know. You know. And so he... To say, I will not, you know. But later on, this young man went. He says there, he says, but what do you think? The two sons came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterward, he repented and went. So, Do we sit there and say, well, you said you wouldn't go. How dare you? And he says, you're out here now. Why did you tell me that? Just let it go. He's there. You know, we worry about so many little things. Why is it we always want to come down and start poking people in the chest and say, you said you wouldn't, and now you're out here. He said, why did you tell me that in the first place? Just let it go. Be happy. He's doing what you asked him to do. How many times have you balked at God wanting you to do something, but later on you did it anyway? Right? Okay. Guilty. Guilty, guilty, guilty. I am guilty of that. And I think we all are at one stage or another, at one time or another. And so, you know, Psalm 103, verse 13 and 14, I read this morning about mercy. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. That's all we are. We're just dust. We know that we have very little time on this earth, and our life isn't very long, but we can say, I will not. And later on, we get a hold of this thing and say, Lord, I got to go do this thing. Otherwise, I will not be happy doing anything else. And so he repented and he went. But how many have we seen just spiritual stinkers just say no, just because they said no, and then later on, they're out there in the vineyard, and God is blessing them. There's a missionary that's now in Botswana. Brother Porter, I don't know if you know the Porters. They're out of Oklahoma. But that guy and his family, they're a hoot. And but you think they're loving life in the mission field. They went to South Africa, now they're in Botswana. And I think they, what, got 15 children or 16 kids or something, and they're loving every minute of it. And you think, wow, you couldn't get them off the mission field for anything. You know, what a blessing. So they repent to authority. But then there's those that reject authority. Look in verse 30. And it says, and he came to the second and said likewise, and he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. These are the ones that have all the holy speak. They got all the right things to say. You know, they dress right, they smell right, they comb their hair the right way and not the wrong way. You know, whatever. Whatever way you want to comb your hair, you know. And get rid of it and you don't have to worry about it. It's just wash and wear hair, you know. And but when you start getting down into things like that, it's ridiculous. Because how many people have got everything that looks and they sound right? I go, sir, and they show such respect, and they have no intention of doing it. But they've given you all the assurances that I am your man, and come to find out they were never your man. It was a guy back here that said, I will not, and next thing you know, he's out doing what he can do, and God's blessing him. Very respectful. It's kind of like saying, could you pray for me? Oh, yes, I will pray for you, and then don't. If you're not going to pray for somebody, say, I don't know if I'll have the time, but I probably will forget anyway. But you don't want to say that, do you? Huh? Well, I'll pray later. And then you forget about it. Oh, thanks for praying for me. Oh, sure, that's not... You know, I forgot to pray for him, right? Guilty? See how easy it is? Let's not be so quick of thinking that we are these kind of people that say, well, yes, I'll pray for you, or giving, and we say, oh, he's taking such good care of us, and you've got all the talk, but the walk is not there. I think there's a young person song. I remember they used to sing it at junior camp, and it was, my walk talks more than my talk talks. You know, that song, and they go on, my walk talks more than my talk talks, and it goes on and on. And look over at Matthew chapter 23. Matthew 23. Verse 1, it says, then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All, therefore, whatsoever they bid you, observe. That observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say, and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders. But they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and to love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men Rabbi, Rabbi. Now, what he's talking about there with the borders of their garments, see, what they would do, a rabbi would, on the bottom of their garment, they would have a blue ribbon at the bottom of their garment. And what he's talking about is making that nice and wide so everybody can see it, and so they know who he is, so that they can be shown respect of who they are. You know. And, you know, just don't do what they do. You know, do what they're supposed to tell you to do. As far according to Scripture, you do it. But not like them. Don't do it what they do. because they say they're going to do it and then they don't do it. Don't be like that. And that's what we're trying to say. Don't be like that. There's one thing, repenting to authority, but there's another thing, rejecting that authority. Because when we get to the point of rejecting the authority, you'll never know what it is to have the authority and know the responsibility of what it is when you're responsible for other people. And they say, I was just back there cleaning toilets. Well, let me tell you something. Those are God's toilets, you know. And, you know, I got my heart right one day cleaning the toilet at the church. I was so angry. I was a deacon, and all these people were supposed to show up for clean up, and I had called them the day before and all this stuff, and I was getting things ready, and my family, and we all showed up, and I was mad, and I was scrubbing the porcelain off the toilet, you know, just yeah, the other Christians, you know what I'm talking about, right? Huh? You're mumbling and you're going on, you Christians, you call yourself Christians. And I looked over, and it was in the girls' bathroom, by the way, and I'm scrubbing this thing, you know, and I looked up, and I didn't mind cleaning. I always took the bathrooms because I wanted to make sure that they were spick and span, right? You know, because people just want to get in there and just get out of there. I want to make sure it's clean. And I looked up above the light switch, and somebody put this little thing up there. It says, discouragement is of the devil. Lord, and you know, you start repenting inside a restroom, right? And you start thinking about it, say, Lord, I'm cleaning your toilets. And I'm, you know, it says in the book of, Psalms, about being someone holding the door in heaven. If I could just do that, I'm thinking, this is a privilege what I'm doing. And I started repenting and saying, Lord, I'm so sorry. Let me tell you what happened after that. And after I repented of that thing and I got done, all of a sudden people started showing up right and left. And they weren't even the people that I called. They came out and they says, you know, Lord told us you needed some help out here. And we just came out. They have no idea what a blessing that was to me that day. You know, just to come out and help clean up. You know, after that, we went and had barbecue and had a great fellowship that evening. And the people that did not come missed it. Right? They missed the blessings of God during cleanup because you're not there all day cleaning up, but we had a great fellowship afterwards. And then you start thinking, Lord, I am so sorry for having such a stinking attitude. Repenting authority, don't reject his authority. Because eventually you're going to be confronted by authority all over again. Look in verse 31. Matthew chapter 21, verse 31. Whether of them, and then he asked them, whether of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, verily, I say unto you that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Let me tell you who you guys are. You're the ones that say, I will, and then don't. Those people said, I will not, and end up going. Those publicans. Now, you know what a publican is, right? Tax collector, right? A tax collector. Those guys were lower than dogs. Even these guys were Jewish men taking taxes for Rome, and they looked at them as lower than dogs. As a matter of fact, they looked at them as Gentiles. They just wished that they were Gentiles. They just wished they were Gentiles. And so they were the ones who repented. The harlots, they repented. They came around. The people that surrounded Jesus Christ, they were not the cream of the crop. The people that surrounded David were not the cream of the crop. But there were people who needed salvation. They knew where they were at. So the message comes home, and the Lord just doesn't mince words. Our pride is a killer, isn't it? Oh, my goodness. But again, there's this thing called responsibility and accountability. And these spiritual giants were hit square in the face. You guys have got the responsibility, and you are accountable for these people's souls. And the ones that you won't even talk to or even look at, they're the ones going to the kingdom of God before you. That, to a spiritually proud man, that hurts. So they stood condemned in their own wisdom because they were responsible before God. These men were the custodians of spiritual life of the nation, and they're very much accountable. And so much willful ignorance, you know, among our leaders and our people. And I'm talking willful ignorance. Let me share something with you. We live in a time where people are willfully ignorant. You find people who don't know hardly anything about anything. Except, hey, listen, whatever, I can just get on Google and find it. Really? Are you actually going to do that? And can you retain that? I don't have to. It's right here. You have a brain. Can't you use it and think? Google. I don't have to use a brain. Wow. Well, okay. I'm just a scarecrow. At least he wanted a brain, you know. But... You know, I think it was Jonathan Edwards said, he says, why are there lifeless people in the pew? Because there's a dead man in the pulpit. You know, and that's true. It all starts going back to responsibility, responsible, and being accountable. But let me say this, that mere sorrow is not repentance. Repentance is sorrow that leads to a change in thinking and attitude. Okay, it is a godly sorrow that changes the way you're going to go and the way you're going to think about it. It changes everything. You know, you go through Scripture, all through Scripture, and you see people that who are believers and they continue to repent. What are they repenting of? They're repenting of their ignorance, not of to be saved because they're saved, but it is a growing process. Matthew 22 and verse 16, it says, and they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. These people knew who they were. Because these guys are always getting, the Pharisees are always getting entangled in talking with this man. Because, you know, in Matthew 17 and verse 13 and 14, he talks about the narrow gate and the narrow way. What is the narrow gate and the narrow way? It's about that narrow. Amen? It's the Word of God. You know, when it gets dry out there spiritually, trust Him. Trust Him. He has you. Okay? He has you. Repenting to authority, repent to authority. Don't reject it, or you're going to be confronted by it all over again until you do repent.